Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Today we're going to be talking about being raised up together in the glory of God. That is so phenomenal. You know, there are so many things about the resurrection that we never really tap into. There are so many things about the resurrection that people have, they've never even heard it preached from the pulpit. And everything about our salvation, everything that God has to offer us, everything that we're supposed to be experiencing in life today is based on the resurrection of Jesus. Listen, you can get this series in its entirety at www.impactministries.com, and it's available every week for your iGroup or for your personal enjoyment. I want to tell you something. This message and this series will change your entire world. It will change the way you see everything about Jesus. It will change how your faith works, and it will bring you into a new dimension of life that you just cannot imagine. Raise up together in the glory of God. 3 Days That Changed the World is the most revolutionary series about the resurrection of Jesus and how it affects your life that you may ever hear. And it may be one of the most important messages that you'll ever hear. It will change everything about how your faith works, because your faith is not in the life that Jesus lived while he was here on planet Earth. Your faith works based on what you believe about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and what he conquered through that resurrection. Every believer needs to hear 3 Days That Changed the World. You know, the Bible promises us resurrection life. It promises us to be raised from the dead. And I don't know about you, but I really wouldn't want to be raised from the dead if life was just going to be the way it is now. You see, when the Bible promises us a resurrection, it's not just talking about resurrection of our physical life. It's talking about a resurrection into the quality of life that really is the perfect will of God. You know, we're not living the perfect will of God. We're not enjoying the perfect will of God. God's will is not being done on planet Earth, even though people think that God's in control of everything. God's not in control of everything. And planet Earth, man has authority, and man has made planet Earth become what it is. We don't want to live in the will of man. We want to live in the will of God. We don't want to live in the glory of the best that man can do in planet Earth. We want to live in the glory of God. So the message of resurrection is the heart of the gospel, and what you believe about the resurrection is the heart of your faith. And sadly, there's really not a much preaching about the resurrection. What teaching there is about the resurrection is pretty limited. It really doesn't talk about what victories that Jesus gave us. It doesn't really share what he conquered for us, what he brought to us. 1 Corinthians 15:12 says, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how does some among you say there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. Then our preaching is empty, and your faith also is empty. Well, I want to tell you something. Our faith is empty or full based on what we believe about the resurrection from the dead. And sadly, most of what we're taught about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is faith in what he accomplished and what he did while he was here on planet Earth. And I want to tell you something. What Jesus did when he was here on planet Earth, it's a model for us. It shows us what our life could be if we yield it totally to the Spirit of God and let the grace of God work in us. It shows us what a man can accomplish by walking with God. But the real truth is, the faith for everything that pertains to our salvation has little or nothing to do with what Jesus accomplished while he was here on planet Earth. It has to do with what he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. And sadly, we're looking at the earthly life of Jesus, and that's the basis of our faith. I want to tell you something. You know, I thank God for his earthly life. I thank God for what it brought to us. But it's not his earthly life that gives me victory. It's his resurrection from the dead. And sadly, when we talk about the resurrection from the dead, immediately we tend to just think of a physical resurrection, because the truth about Jesus becoming sin and conquering sin, hell, death, and the grave is not preached in very many circles. You start talking about this stuff and people's religious heads blow off of the top of their shoulders. You see, if Jesus just had a physical resurrection, if he just died as a man and did not become sin and rose up physically, then all he has to offer us is a physical resurrection from the dead, a physical victory. I want to tell you something. It's not what he gives us physically that changes everything. It's what he gives us spiritually. It's a resurrection into a newness of life that solves all of our problem. And that resurrection begins right now. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. But what does that really mean? See, Colossians 1:18 says he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Now you think, wait a minute, let's see. Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. Well, if we're just talking about physical resurrection, then that scripture is absolutely not true, because, you know, he raised people from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. In the Old Testament, people were raised from the dead. How can we say that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead? I'll tell you how, because we're not just talking about the firstborn from physical death. We are talking about the firstborn from spiritual death. What is spiritual death? Spiritual death is to be alienated from God. It is to be totally separated from God. And Jesus was alienated from God because he became our sin. And you see, in his resurrection, he conquered sin, hell, death, and the grave. He conquered the devil. He conquered all things that oppose God. And being raised up in this newness of life gives us this same life that he now has, having won all of these victories. You know, Romans 8:29 says that he's the firstborn among many brethren. So we got to resolve our beliefs about whether or not Jesus became sin, why he became sin, what does that mean to us? You know, here's something that I don't think a lot of people get. See, Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the center of our salvation. Everything that God has to offer us in salvation revolves around and has its fulfillment in what Jesus accomplished. Now, anything that Jesus didn't accomplish through his death, burial, and resurrection is not a part of our salvation, which means it is something that is left for us to accomplish. So in other words, If Jesus, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 first of all, that God laid on him the iniquity of us all. It tells us that all of our sins rushed violently upon him. It tells us that he was bruised with our sickness and disease. He became the curse of the law. Why did he do all of that? Well, he did all that because if he hadn't have done all that, we would have to do all that. You see, I can't use my faith for victory in any area that Jesus did not obtain a victory, because I'm a joint heir with him. I don't have anything relating to God outside of him. I don't have any aspect of salvation outside of the salvation that he experienced by being raised from the dead. I don't have anything in God that he didn't obtain. I don't have the hope or the promise of anything that's not intimately and directly connected to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And when the Bible talks about the message of the cross, I want you to understand the message of the cross isn't just the fact that Jesus died on the cross. It's the fact that he died on the cross having become our sin and having taken all of our punishment and having been alienated from God, having gone to Hades, the abode of the wicked, and being trapped there and held there by our sins for 3 days and three nights, and he used his faith to overcome all of that And he was raised up in righteousness. He was raised up in the glory of God. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:21. Everybody quotes it, but nobody gets it. For he, talking about God, made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know, sometimes I'll share this verse and people are like, well, you're denying the deity of Jesus. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You know, you can't get your head around it. Guess what? None of us can really get our head around it. This is something that can't be explained. But this is something that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament and the law and the prophets and the gospels and the epistles, it clearly lays out that God caused Jesus to become our sin. As a matter of fact, see, all the Old Testament ceremonies were a type of what would happen in Jesus. And part of the Old Testament ceremonies was when you would bring this sin offering to the priest, and you and the priest would lay hands on this sin offering, and you would confess your specific sins over this lamb. And it was a type of imparting your sins to this lamb. Now, that didn't really happen, but that was a type, a shadow to show us what would happen in Jesus. And then the priest would sacrifice the lamb. That was a type of God pouring out his wrath and his judgment on the Lord Jesus. And you're sitting there watching this lamb get its throat cut and bleed out, thinking, that's happening because of me. That's happening because of my sin. If I was getting what I deserved, that would be me that all of this would be happening to. But you see, we don't get that. We don't grasp the fact that Jesus really became our sin and Jesus really took our punishment. Jesus really went through everything that we should have gone through. And the Old Testament was a type. Jesus was not a type. He was the real deal. This was where it really happened. You know, Matthew 27:46, Jesus is on the cross and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And, you know, there are people out there today teaching, well, that wasn't really what that meant. And I've had people say that, well, that wasn't really what Jesus meant. And you're thinking, you're taking the Word of God and twisting it and saying that's not what Jesus meant. Listen, I've studied in the original language. That's what he meant. That's what he said. And he wasn't just quoting a verse. He was alienated from God. Why was he alienated from God? Because if he hadn't been, you and I would have to be alienated from God. Every aspect of everything that we needed to relate to God, every aspect of everything we needed to be free from the power of sin, every aspect of everything that we needed to be free from the curse of the law, every aspect of everything that we need to conquer the devil, to conquer death, to conquer hell, every aspect of what we need to go to heaven when we die is ours for one reason. Jesus experienced it all in our place. He experienced the death. He experienced the life. He experienced being buried. He experienced being raised up. And we are in him in the sense that he took all of our sins. And all of our sins died with him. We died. All that we could be outside of Jesus died with him. And so when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I want to tell you something. That means that whenever we cross over, we will never cross over alone. We'll never have even an instant. Whenever we leave this body, we will never have an instant of being alone. We'll never have an instant of being alienated from God. We'll never have an instant where we have to be somewhere without God because of our sins and because of all the things that have happened. Listen, to me, this is so absolutely crucial, not just to me, to the writers of the new covenant. The gospel revolves around the resurrection of Jesus. And if we don't believe the truth about the resurrection of Jesus, we have absolutely no basis for a hope of our resurrection. And remember, if you only believe in a physical resurrection, then your faith can't bring you the life that Jesus obtained when he was raised from the dead. 1 Peter 1:21 talks about God. It says who through him, we believe in God, who raised him, Jesus, from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. Now, if Jesus didn't become sin, why, first of all, was it the Father that had to raise him up? And secondly, why did God have to give him glory if he already had glory? You see, when Jesus was raised from the dead, I want you to understand something. He wasn't just, he conquered the sin principle. And that's important to understand that. But he didn't just conquer the sin principle. He conquered our specific sins. That's why sin has no dominion over us. That's why sin has absolutely no power over us. My particular struggles have already been conquered in Jesus. And all I have to do is believe that I am in him, raised up above that, having victory over it because of his victory. And suddenly that sin totally loses power over me. Now, when Jesus was on earth, he lived the life really that a Christian could live. Because remember, he was born without sin. And when you get born again, sin has no power over you. The moment you get born again, it is as if you are just like Jesus was when he was walking on planet Earth. And the only difference is you have a past. And your faith is about whether or not you believe you are who you used to be, or you believe you are who you are in Christ. And that's the only real struggle that you have in your whole life. Now, when Jesus was on planet Earth, he yielded himself to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the grace of God was on him. He was permeated in grace. And grace is a work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was on him. Every miracle he worked was a work of the grace of God, God's ability, God's strength working in him. Every time he overcame the devil, every time he overcame sin, it was God's grace working in him. And so the grace of God won him personal victory. But I want you to understand something. In the grave, he won the victory over our personal and individual sins, over the power of sin and death in general, but over the power of sin that has worked in our lives over the years. You know, I'll never forget, at some point in my life, when I began to understand what it meant to commune with Christ, to share in the fellowship or the one thing that we have in common. And the one thing that we have in common is his death, burial, and resurrection. In other words, we share the cross in common so that now we can share his life. And I'll never forget, one time meditating and praying and thinking about dying with Jesus. And I saw this picture in my heart of me dying with him on the cross. And I saw what looked like a big slab of stone, and Jesus was laying on that stone, and he was wrapped up in chains. And I'll never forget, as I began to look at those chains, the links of that made up the chain, as I looked at them, those links had words on them, and those words were the names of my particular sins, my particular weaknesses, my particular struggles. And as I was watching this, and Jesus began to move in faith. Now remember, faith is when you believe what God has said and done. And God had made Jesus all kinds of promises. God had promised that he would be a priest forever and ever after the order of Melchizedek, which was this really unique priesthood that was different from the old covenant priesthood. And God had promised him that his enemies would be his footstool. God had promised him that his body would not suffer corruption. God had promised that he would be raised up on the third day. God had promised him that he would be seated at the right hand of glory. There are all these promises that God made. And Jesus in Hades, now not the lake of fire and brimstone, not the eternal hell. There's been a lot of crazy stuff preached about this. And, people say that the devil was there tormenting him. The devil hadn't been to hell yet. He's going to go. But the devil's not the he's not the prince of hell. He's not in charge of hell. He's going to be in the bottom of hell. He's never been there. He wasn't the one tormenting Jesus. God poured the curse of the law on Jesus. God sent Jesus to Hades, which was the abode of the wicked, and is still the abode of the wicked prior to the white throne judgment, prior to the lake of fire and brimstone. And so God put him there for our benefit, just like it was God that smote him with our sickness and disease. The stripes of those Roman soldiers had nothing to do with us getting healing. It was the fact that God smote him with all of our diseases so that those diseases would never have the right to come on us. So I'm watching this, and Jesus is in darkness, and he's laying on this slab, and I see this in my heart. He begins to worship, and he begins to acknowledge that he is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And he begins to acknowledge that God is his father. He begins to acknowledge that he is the firstborn from the dead. He acknowledges that the scepter of his throne is the scepter of righteousness, that he's the prince of peace and the king of righteousness. And I'm watching this, and as I'm watching this, it brought my mind back to whenever Samson was a type of Jesus. Samson's eyes were put out and his hair was cut off. And you know, so he had spiritual blindness and he lost his glory and he became a slave in a prison house. And Samson was there, but his glory came back on him and his strength came back on him. And when his strength came back on him, he destroyed his enemies. Well, that was a type of Jesus. And I'm watching this, and suddenly it's like Jesus began, his chest began to fill it with strength and power began to come in him. And as he did, these chains with mice that were, these chains that were made strictly from my sins, these links began to pull apart and began to pop apart, and suddenly he broke out of all those chains, and I realized that I was in him. And suddenly it was like, in my heart, I saw him blast out of the darkness and into the presence of God, and realized that for him to come up out of the grave, he didn't just conquer the sin principle. He conquered my sin. See, he didn't just conquer sin in general. He conquered your sin. For him to come out of the grave, your sin had to be conquered. My sin, because it was your sin and my sin that held him in the grave. Romans 6:8 says, now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. I got news for you. See, we didn't just conquer sin. We conquered death. We conquered the grave. You say, well, wait a minute. We're all going to die. Let me tell you. No. We're never going to die spiritually. We are never going to taste separation from God. When we close our eyes, it's just going to be like going to sleep. There was a good friend of mine, Dr. Gary Cook. Me and him are buddies. We fellowship, talk about the Lord. And Gary always says, you know, Jim, just like you don't know when you fall asleep, you won't know when you die, because we've talked about that a lot. I got news for you. It'll be like blinking your eyes, and suddenly you're in the presence of the Lord. Suddenly you're there with him in eternity. I got news for you. There's so many things about the resurrection that we have never even tapped into. It's so many things about the resurrection that are not taught. What all Jesus went through in hell, the battle that he fought. And see, when the Bible talks about the faith of Jesus, this is what it's talking about. The faith that he used to be raised up from the dead, and the faith that he used to take our sin upon him, the faith that he used to conquer it, the faith that he used to believe us into him, if you will. Well, I want to tell you something. Everything about our faith needs to be focused on what Jesus accomplished. And if it's not, it's misplaced faith. It may be a faith based in something that's true, something really happened in the life of Jesus. But I got news for you. If you can't go to the cross and show and see where Jesus gave you victory over something, and if you can't go to the resurrection and see where Jesus conquered it for you, and if you can't go to the inheritance and see that it belongs to you because you're in him, then you have no basis of faith for whatever it is that you're trying to believe. But I'll tell you, when you can see that that it happened on the cross and in the grave and in the resurrection and the inheritance, then you have a basis of unshakable, immovable faith. Listen, don't go away. I want to share a mentoring moment with you that'll help you find some practical ways to put this stuff into operation in your life. I want to invite you to two great events that are coming up. We're in May 16th through the 18th. We're having a Limitless Living seminar with Bob and Audrey Meisner in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Man, I hope you can come. Go to my new do website and you can sign up for it. You can get information about it off of impactministries.com. But also, listen, every year in July, we have a World Changer Weekend. This year's going to be July the 18th through the 20th. I want you to consider becoming a world changer with us and helping us take this message of God's incredible love to the ends of the earth. You know what? World changers are changing the way the world sees God. We are going to raise up and reach 1 billion people through our Operation 1 Billion, and you can be a part of it. And I want you to be here for World Changer Weekend. Be sure and go online, become a world changer, or call in and talk to someone. 3 days to change the world is probably one of the most important, if not the most important, messages you're ever going to hear about what we need to believe about Jesus. You see, when the Bible talks about our faith in Jesus, it's not just the faith in what he did when he walked planet Earth. It's faith in what he did on the cross, after the cross, and at the throne. Until you believe the truth about what happened from the cross to the throne, you're just experiencing a limited portion of what Jesus died to give you. When I first began making this journey about connecting everything to the cross of Christ, I had a process that I would take myself through because I wanted to train myself to always make all of my faith about the finished work of Jesus. And so every time I would have some issue, and I still to this day, if I get trapped on something or if I'm having trouble overcoming something, to this day, whatever the problem is, I'm going to ask myself some simple questions. Number one, did Jesus overcome this problem on the cross, or did he take this? And if I can say yes to that, if I have a scriptural basis, then it's real simple. Whatever this problem is, sickness, pain, fear, uncertainty, whatever it is, you have no right here. Jesus has already borne you on the cross. You have no right. I don't have to take you. I don't have to carry you. I send you away in the name of Jesus. And right then, I just allow myself to feel that leaving. I imagine it leaving. I do. I bring all my senses to that place. And then whatever I want to replace that with based on the promises of God is real simple. Did Jesus give me the solution to this through his resurrection? Doesn't matter if it's a financial need, if a physical need, an emotional need, or whatever. Now, see, there's a lot of things that we try to connect to. You know, people will contact me. It's like, well, you know, I'm believing God for my husband to do this. Well, you can't do that. Jesus, you don't have anything to do with what happens between Jesus and your husband. You don't have anything to do with anybody else. This has to do with you. What do you believe Jesus conquered for you? What do you believe he obtained for you? So if he obtained something for you, healing in the name of Jesus, you are mine. I accept you right now. I call myself whole and well based on the resurrection of Jesus. And see, this gets into this thing about communion. This gets into this thing about sharing what we have in common with Jesus. And what we have in common with Jesus is we died with him, we were buried with him, we were raised up with him, and we are seated with him, and we share in his inheritance. And if you always take your faith to that place, you're going to find a whole new level of victory. Listen, we go into all of this in 3 days at Change the World. Be sure and get the whole series. God bless you. Make everything about Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.